Good evening, everyone. What a night. What a night, folks. What a night. What a day. What a night. We've just witnessed tonight Karen, Leslie, Toya, Jennifer, and Connor publicly proclaim by their words and their actions that they're followers of Jesus Christ. For the rest of their lives, with God's help, they're going to follow Jesus. Some of you might think, well, or might ask, what does that actually look like, or what does it mean as you maybe consider tonight about baptism? Is it about becoming more religious? Or when I come to faith, I don't know if they still use the phrase, it was about becoming good living. Is it about turning their backs on family and friends who aren't Christians? Well, it's none of these. It's none of them at all. Rather, it's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about falling in love with Jesus. It's about becoming a child of God. It's about inheriting the kingdom of God. It's about having the power that raised Christ from the dead dwell within them. It's about people who bring God's kingdom here on earth today. It's about a life transformed and a life changed. In fact, it's about becoming a new creation. As we turn to tonight's reading, we get some insight and some pointers of what that actually should look like for all of us as we live out our lives today. So good. You know, it's great saying, I'm a child of God. I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But what actually does that look like? What does it look like? For those of you who have been coming along on Sunday evening, you know we've been following the book of Romans, book from the New Testament. And we got as far as chapter 13. And tonight, I want to read some words from that, chapter 13, verses 8 to 14. And that's what I want to focus on this evening. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. And this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is and time is running out. Wake up, for your salvation is nearer now than we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Paul's writing to the church in Rome, and he sort of gives them three things in this reading. In this one bit of chapter 13, he gives them three things that identifies them with belonging to Christ. And firstly, they're called to love their neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other commandments are summed up in the one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Now, some of you here that maybe know your Bible a wee bit will know that in Romans chapter 8, Paul seems to contradict himself. For he says, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. So do we live under God's grace or do we have to follow the requirements of the law. Is it not right when Jesus died on the cross, he freed us from the law? He sorted all that out. We have God's grace. We can ignore all that stuff from the Old Testament. However, the law is not the problem we have, because the law reveals to us God's holiness. The problem is our inability to actually keep the law. We're all captured, as Paul says. We're all enslaved by sin. But Jesus on the cross dealt with all our sin. He freed us from the penalty that actually the law demands, and that's eternal death. The Christian's freedom in Christ is freedom from sin, not freedom to ignore the holiness and the commandments of God. And Paul tells the church to love their neighbor, because in truth, that sums up the law. Love, in other words, is not the end of the law, but the fulfillment of the law. But what does the law demand? Well, we're not to commit adultery, sex outside marriage. We're not to murder. We're not to steal. We're not to covet. And the love that Paul is talking about is not the same love that the world lives by the day, that, you know, you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, with whoever or whatever you want. That's not the love that Paul is talking about here. Paul's love is a love that does no harm to anyone but seeks only their good. Tonight, if you're a Christian, that's the love that you're supposed to live out in the world around us. That's how actually we're to treat our neighbor. And our neighbor, who is our neighbor? Our neighbor is actually anybody. It's not the person next door. Can be. Can be the person in the next street. Can be the person on the other side of the world. It can be the person that we really get on with, and it can be the person that we really hate. It can be the person on Twitter or the person on Facebook. It can be anybody. It's everybody is our neighbor. Imagine for a moment what society would be like if we all loved our neighbor. I reckon there'd be a lot of TV programs that would just be wiped out straight away, because they're the total opposite and they feed in the total opposite. Imagine what society would be like if we all loved our neighbor. Or maybe that's maybe shooting a wee bit high. Let's come down a wee bit. Imagine what this part of the world would be like if each and every one of us in here loved our neighbor the way that we're called to. What would this society look like? What would this neighborhood look like? Reality is, truth is, we're not that great at loving our neighbor. Maybe some of you are brilliant at it, but the most of us aren't, because we're self-centered. We're self-centered, and we struggle with people who don't behave the way that we behave, don't like the things that we like, don't come from the background we come from, and so on and so forth. However, if we claim to follow Jesus, if we're given our lives to him, no matter who our neighbor is, we're called to love them, to seek good for them and not harm. You know, as we witnessed this week and a few streets not very far away from here, we've a lot to learn in loving our neighbor. We've a lot to learn in loving our neighbor. You know, we're those that put up them banners, truly, truly seeking good, not harm, for everyone in them houses. Folks, I'm not saying we erase the past. I'm not saying that at all. In fact, the opposite. But we can write a better future for this country of ours if we just love our neighbor. We're in the mess that we're in Because we didn't do it, church included. Because we're not good at loving our neighbor. What would this island look like if we were to love our neighbor just a little bit more? We need to write a new future, so to speak. And not only that, if we were to love our neighbor, what will eternity look like? How many more will be there? As followers of Christ, with God's help and God's grace, we're called to love our neighbor. But then Paul moves on, and he tells us why we need to step up to the mark. Actually, there's an urgency. He calls us to wake up. This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for your salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of living, of right living. You know, every day brings the end of the world one day closer. One day closer. One day closer to when Jesus will return. Or one day closer till you'll be in the grave. You know, we live in what we're called the end times, the time when Jesus has come first and returned to heaven, and when he will come back as Lord and Judge. And Paul tells us, it's getting closer. Wake up and live out the life that God has called you into. A life that has been changed and transformed by the power of the gospel. A life full of the Holy Spirit. It would seem that all wasn't well in this church in Rome. Their lifestyle is not reflecting Christ, or he wouldn't be writing these words. Paul tells them, you know, remove your dirty deeds. Stop the wild part and the drunkenness, the sleeping around, the immoral living, the fighting and the jealousy. Get rid of all that stuff. Throw it out. Start living right lives. Wake up. Wake up. There's a world out there that needs to know Jesus. There's a world out there that needs to know that he is the best way. There's a hurting world out there that needs to know that God loves them and God's for them and God's not against them. That there's a life that's better, that's fuller, that's more rewarding, there's more enjoyable, more fun than anything the world can conjure up. A life with purpose, a life with hope, a life with assurance, and a life of eternal life. You know, there's a challenge to us in the church today. How different are we from the world around us? How different, actually, do we stand out in our workplaces that we're different? Or do we try to enjoy blending into the world? You know, that's what the liberal end of the church does. They try to blend into the, their thinking is if you blend into the world that more people will sort of believe, but then people don't know what they believe anymore. Paul tells us to shine in the darkness. Yes, we're saved by grace, but we need to put on the shining armor of right living. And then the law of averages tells me tonight there's people here, and you've never given your life to Christ. You've never given your life to Christ. You need to wake up also. Wake up to the fact that one day you will stand before Jesus and have to give account of your life. Whether you believe in Jesus or not is irrelevant on one level, because you'll still have to stand before him and give account of your life. And folks, there's only one way. There's only one way into heaven, and that is through Christ and through Christ alone. A life forgiven, a life set free through Jesus. That's what these folks have discovered, and countless other ones like them. That there is actually only one way. A life that has been turned around by the power of the gospel. And maybe there's some of you here tonight thinking, well, that's no big deal. I don't need this Jesus. I'm fine the way I am. Life's great. And so it may be. But I'd say when it comes to the end of the world, you're one way or the other. You're either a child of God or you're not. There's no other way. One or the other. And the alternative to being a child of God, the alternative of having eternal life with Jesus, is a place without love, a place without joy, a place that has unimaginable pain, a place where there's no laughter. It's a place of misery. A place called hell. And the thing is, God doesn't want you to go there. That's why he sent his son to die in the grave. God doesn't want you to go there. And God does not send you there. God does not send you there. You send yourself. You send yourself. If you get to the end of this world and you haven't given your life to Jesus and you don't get into heaven, don't blame God. Blame yourself. Paul shouts at us, wake up. Do you need to wake up tonight and give your life to Jesus? Are there some of us here tonight as Christians? Do we need to wake up and start to actually live the life that God has called us into? So how do we do all this? Third and final point. How do we do it all? How do we love our neighbor? How do we wake up and live lives worthy of Christ? Paul tells us, put on the right clothes. Put on the right clothes. Remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. You know, Paul, like all the rest of us, knows how easy it is to get it wrong. He knows how easy it is to be enticed by the world around us. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. These folks have got baptized and they're not perfect. And they'll not be perfect this side of eternity. Paul knows that the sinful nature is just lurking within us. So what's the answer? You know, some people have come up and they would say, well, the answer not to have a messed up life, to not be pulled in by temptation, is to go and lock yourself away in some wee top of a mountain or something, and then there's, you know, nobody can bother you. That wouldn't work for me because my mind would still be working and my mind would still be polluted. That wouldn't work for me. Others that sort of come out from among them and, you know, and don't go away. Don't go near any place where there's sin. Don't go near it. Keep away from there and you'll be okay. Problem with that is that's not the way that Jesus did it. We need to be in touch with the world. We need to know what's going on in the world. We need to know what makes the world tick. We need to be where people are at who don't know Christ, because if we're not, how are they going to know? So we need to be there. How do we be what God wants us to be without falling into sin and away from Christ? How do we avoid the dirty clothes? You know, sadly today, for those of us in the church a lot of the time, our behavior, our lifestyle, our language, our view on sexuality, and what we can and cannot do can so easily be shaped and polluted by the culture around us rather than God's word. Temptation is all around us and sin lurks within us. So what hope do we have? Well, Paul actually tells us in Romans 8 that actually we have plenty of hope because we're more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. But actually, we need to put on the right clothes and we need to keep them on spiritually. We need to put on the right clothes and keep them on. We need to clothe ourselves in the presence of the Lord Jesus. How do we do that? Well, we study his word. We pray at all times. We're open to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We be where the people of God are at. We let others pray for us and we let others pray into our lives. We seek after God and his righteousness. See, when we start to do that, the world looks totally different. And wanting for Christ becomes a lot easier. Because we experience his power working within us and we see his miracles working through us. You know, some of you, Anna, that come to Willowfield, you'll know that I enjoy cycling, road cycling. And after the summer last year, I decided to do a sponsored cycle for a Christian organization. And it was in September, and about a week before it, I decided, well, I hadn't been out for a couple of weeks, so I better sort of loosen the old muscles up on that, and I would go out for like a 30-mile cycle ride. And I got about 3 miles out the Ballygowan Road, all going well, lovely sunny evening, and I decided to fall out with a 4x4. The 4x4 won. Knocked me clean off my bike and down the road. And me being me, I was more worried about the bike than what it was about me. Anyway, I didn't think I was hurt that badly. And a week later was a sponsored cycle ride. So the week come, threw the bike in the car, away I went, and went and started off cycling. And actually, I wasn't feeling sore in any way. But when I started to cycle, I discovered actually I wasn't that good. I'd actually hurt myself in about 3 or 4 different places. And I couldn't finish it. I said at the 5:30 to Dave, David knows me, I'm as stubborn as get out. I still couldn't finish it. I was in too much pain. And then the winter came, and I usually would cycle through the winter, but sure, it was a wet winter, wasn't it? It was cold. I didn't bother. Spring came, and I still hadn't bothered cycling. Then when the good weather started coming, I thought, I'm going to have to get out on the bike. And actually, I had to force myself back out on the bike. There's something I discovered. I'd actually lost my love of cycling. I used to love going out for 30 mile, 40 mile, and cycling. And I'd lost my love of cycling. I had to push myself back out again. And anybody knows that you've done a certain amount of exercise, and you stop doing it for a while and you start again, it's hard going. And I was out a couple of weeks ago, and I was pondering this great thing about cycling. It's supposed to say with running or walking. If you're by yourself, you've plenty of time to think. And I was pondering this as I was getting my body back into some sort of fitness. And I was pondering, do we do the same spiritually as what happened to me in the bike? Does the same happen to us when it comes to Jesus? Do we fall out of love with Jesus? You know, it doesn't happen overnight. Maybe there's a knock in your life. Something happens and you get, whatever it may be, sickness, whatever it may be, break down a relationship, could be anything. And then bit by bit, you stop maybe reading your Bible, you stop praying, you stop coming to church, you stop being involved the way you were involved once, and you get to a certain stage and you realize that actually you're far away. You're far away from Jesus. You're not in love with him anymore. And actually, doing the Christian stuff is a struggle. It's hard and it's tough going. I wonder tonight, is there maybe some of us a bit like that when it comes to Jesus? You know, Lawrence was speaking this morning and it really caught me. He was talking, we're not called to be perfect, but we're called to make progress. God doesn't call us to be perfect, but as we map out our spiritual life, we should be making progress. Think back to this time last year. Are you closer to Jesus now than what you were last year? Are you more in love with Jesus now than what you were last year? Is God more evident in your life more this year than what you were last year? See, if I was going to talk that about the bicycle, I'm not half as fit as what I was this time last year. And that made me think, where am I at spiritually, where I was this time last year? I'll answer my question. You can answer yours. See, I wonder tonight, have some of us started to wear the wrong clothes? Are we wearing the wrong clothes? As we look at this passage from Romans,
Is there some of us tonight, there's a bit of a wake-up call? There's a wake-up call. Actually, maybe last year I was further on with Jesus than what I am now. I was closer to Jesus last year than what I am now. If that's the answer to your question, there's definitely, if you say yes to that, is this a wake-up call tonight? You need to do something about it. Or maybe there's some of us here tonight, as you've witnessed these folks been baptized, you actually realize that, you know, you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never given your life to Jesus. And tonight's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call to you. I need to do something about this. I'm going to finish at that, actually. I'm going to pray. Please stand. Could the band come up? Thanks. Thanks, guys. Let's just be still for a few moments. I do believe that there's folks here tonight, and you probably realized that long before you come into this building tonight, but you're actually wearing the wrong clothes. There's some of us in here tonight who have given our lives to Jesus and we're wearing the wrong clothes. And the challenge for us tonight is, do you want to take them clothes off and put on the right clothes tonight? You know, you were closer to Christ in the past, and just all our things in life have just consumed you and took your focus. Can I encourage you, just a few moments in silence we're going to have, to maybe lay down some of them clothes and make a recommitment to be what God would want you to be. And then maybe tonight, there's some of us, as I said, there's a wake-up call. You need to actually give your life to Jesus. You need to do it, and you know that you need to do it. And maybe it scares the life out of you. Maybe it excites you. But you need to do it. Maybe earlier on when we're singing that song, and maybe for some of you had never actually maybe heard it before. I'm no longer a slave. I'm a child of God. That rung in your heart tonight. That rung in your heart tonight. Actually, I think, guys, could we sing that again? Just in a second or two. Just going. This is where you... music group has to work quite quick. I want to give an opportunity for anyone tonight to give their life to Jesus, if you want to do it. This isn't about words so much as about a heart response. It's not about having your life all sorted, because none of us have our lives all sorted. It's about deciding tonight, actually, I know there's something better. It's about realizing tonight there's something missing in your life. Well, that thing that's missing in your life is the person of Jesus. So let's just close our eyes and go say a very simple prayer. And if you want to give your life to Jesus tonight, just say these words quietly in your heart. Just quietly. Let's be still a moment and say these words after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight that you died on the cross for me. Lord, I thank you that you love me. Lord, I thank you that I can be made clean and pure by you. I'm sorry for all the wrong things that I've done in my life. Please forgive me. Come now by your Holy Spirit and dwell within me. Give me new life. Make me your child, that I can walk and live with you today, right into eternity. Amen. Can I ask the prayer mercy team to come forward? These folks are at the front and they pray. They're here to pray for you as long as you come forward for prayer. But they'd love to pray for you during the worship. I think there's something tonight. There's somebody tonight and you need to know that you can be made clean and that you can be made pure. I see Jesus is the only one that can do that. And I said, as I was praying, that was going through your head. You need to be. Can I really be made clean? Can I be made pure? And through the cross, yes.